Welcome to a brand new edition of your favorite hockey podcast, What the Puck. Step away from the mic a little bit, Brandon. Come on, What the Puck. Let's see, we've got a great show tonight. Skyping in with me, as always, is not the new assistant coach for the Capitals, but it is Coach Dan Hayden. What's going on, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So first, you don't get the head coach job. Now you're not getting the assistant coach job.
There is one more left.
Okay,
there's still another assistant coach position for me to not get.
All right. Well, there, you know, you're in the running. Let's hope. So
we could only hope.
Yeah, exactly. You can only hope with Coach Oates. But let's see. We've got a little bit of news breaking so far since our last episode. Big news, player-wise, Mike Green signed for 3 more years with the Washington Capitals. So he's going to be riding that Vespa around D.C. for 3 more years. And Green making a pretty good amount of green himself. So what's his breakdown so far?
Yeah, I can tell you right now, with the cap hit and the contract he just got, that you better stay as far away from that Vespa as he can, because that dude will find a way to hurt himself. Now, Mike Green re-signed for 3 years at $18.25 million, which is a good deal for him. I'm a little hesitant. I wasn't too big a fan of the idea of him having a cap hit of 6 and change million. So we'll see how it goes. If he can stay healthy, he's one of the top offensive defensemen in the league. But can he stay healthy? Is he going to be out there every night giving his all? Because when he's out there and he's on top of his game, no one brings up the puck like he does, especially on the power play. But if he's hurt, they don't have anybody to really replace him. They have guys who can bring the puck up, but not the way he does it. So we'll see how it goes. If he can stay healthy, it's a great deal. If he can't, it's a problem. And did they waste some money this year on their cap hit during the offseason that they could have spent on somebody else?
You know, I do like Mike Green staying in D.C. I agree with you. He's a great asset to the team. When he was injured, and he's been injured a lot the last 2 seasons, but when he was injured this past season, you could see how much he was missed on the power play, because that power play lacked.
It was abysmal. I mean, the power play was terrible without him. I think a guy like Dmitry Orlov is certainly going to be able to help on the power play if he gets more minutes this year, but having Green out there will make them unbelievably talented. And it'll be interesting to see what Oates can bring to the power play in terms of the style and everything, because even with Green sometimes out there, the power play still looked just horrible. I don't know if it was necessarily the players or if it was the system or what, but whatever it was, it wasn't working. So that's one of the big things that Oates is going to have to take care of during the offseason, going into next season and training camp and everything.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, with the cap hit, the biggest thing, I mean, everybody's talking about it on Twitter. I thought it myself. Mike Green is a great asset to this team when he is healthy. But the past 2 seasons, he's had concussion problems. He's had, a sports hernia. So he had problems in his groin, and he had a problem with his leg. So it's not like it's the same problem nagging him over and over again. He is getting injured, and this is a very physical game. I'm not saying that at all. I'm a big wussy. I would never be able to play hockey. So I totally understand that this guy's getting paid and he's getting knocked around and everything, but he seems like he's made of glass. Every time he gets hit, he's got a new injury.
Yeah, in regards to Mike Green, that he's certainly made of glass. It was nice to see when he came back finally and he got hit and he kind of got up and kept going. It's like, okay, maybe he'll be okay. Maybe he won't get hurt again. So I think the biggest thing for him is going to be those first few games, provided he, knock on wood, doesn't get hurt in training camp or in a preseason game, that he is able to play. And in terms of the cap hit, I mean, right now that puts him down with just over $10 million to go, according to capgeek.com. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with the rest of that. They still need to re-sign John Carlson. Alexander Semin is still out there. Who knows what they're going to do with him? And maybe they want to go out and trade for someone. So it'll be interesting to see with how much money they have left under the cap, if the cap even stays where it is, what they decide to do.
You know, absolutely. And you did bring up Semin there for a second. There is some reports coming out of Russia. And again, you can never trust Russian media, really, but it says former Capitals Sergei Fedorov, he said that there has been some talks with Semin, but as he stated, there's more questions than there are answers. So again, Alex Semin's status, NHL, KHL, all of that still very much up in the air. But something that's not up in the air at all anymore, earlier today we heard from the Capitals, and they have actually named their assistant coach. And can you tell us a little about him, man?
Yeah, today I found out from you, actually, that the Capitals had hired former defenseman Calle Johansson, old number 6, to be one of the assistant coaches. Now, we've been hearing for a week or so now that Oates was looking at someone that he used to play with. And they both used to play with Capitals. Oates played with the Caps from the 96 season through 2002 before he was traded to the Flyers. And Johansson played with the Caps from 88 coming over from Buffalo until 2003. So from 96 to 02, Oates' entire time in D.C., he played with Cal Johansson. Johansson doesn't have much of a coaching history. I believe he coached as an assistant coach for one season over in Sweden with, I want to say, Frölunda. So we'll see how that goes. It's an interesting hire. He certainly was a great defenseman, but just because you're a great hockey player does not mean that you're necessarily going to be a great coach. Yeah, a la Wayne Gretzky.
Exactly.
That didn't work out so well in Phoenix.
Exactly, in Phoenix. I was just about to say that.
So we'll see how it goes. If he can teach how he played, if he can teach the game, then he will be amazing help for guys like Carl Alsner and Mike Green and John Carlson and especially Dmitry Orlov, with him being still a young guy. Not that Carlson and Alsner aren't, they're just a couple years older. He's not gonna be much help for a guy like a Roman Hamrlich. That guy's got his game pretty solid. Maybe Johansson can help him with a few pointers here and there, but if he can coach, if he can teach the game to play the way he did, then it certainly is a great move. But if he can't relate to the players today, if he can't teach them what he knows, then it's a mistake. So we'll see what happens. It's sort of right now I'm sort of 50-50 on it. It's great to have a guy back. It's a great marketing tool, promotional material to have one of the old guys back, one of the guys back from the 98 Cup run. But can he teach? Can he teach them how to play hockey? And that's going to be the biggest thing to see going into training camp and going into the season.
You know, absolutely. This guy has a lot of history here in D.C. with the Capitals. You know, I think he was the longest guy who was a Capital playing. I mean, like you said, he played for a very long stretch of his career in D.C. So I think he's got a lot of love for the city, a lot of love for the team. I think time will tell if he's going to be a good coach or not. I mean, he does, you know, his heart is at least here. So that's a good sign, because we saw what happened when your heart's not really in it anymore with Bruce. And even though everybody loves Bruce and still loves Bruce, you know, we saw what happened when his heart just wasn't there anymore. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the future, but I'm glad the Caps have named their assistant coach. There's one more spot left, like Dan said earlier. So we'll be very interested to see who takes that job, too. And if what it looks like it's going to be a former Capital if this keeps going the way it is. But hey, let's talk about something that happened over this weekend. Dan and I actually got to hang out. We actually saw each other face-to-face, first time in years, man. It's been like 4 or 5 years since we've seen each other face-to-face. But
I want to say 2007, graduation, Stevenson.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it was our graduation. I mean, you know, it's nobody's a stranger anymore because of Facebook, but still, seeing you face-to-face, even now when we're Skyping, he won't turn on his webcam because he doesn't want me to see him. He sees me all the time, so that's
you know, I got to find it and plug it in. So I don't have a cool, fancy computer like all the kids nowadays with the camera built into the laptop. Mine doesn't have it built in, so I got to find it and plug it in. It's a big pain.
Yeah, Dan's still working on Windows 95, but it's no big deal. We don't hold it against him. But, hey, we got to hang out at Caps Fan Fest down at Kettler Iceplex on Saturday. And, man, that was a pretty fun day. We got to hang out with some pretty cool people.
Yeah, we did. We got to end up having a couple of interviews we got to do. We got to watch a lot of the players. It was fun watching a lot of the young guys. Mike Ribeiro was there signing autographs. Wes Johnson was wandering around. John Walton was calling the game, which was pretty cool for them to do for not even a preseason game, but a development camp game. And they were calling it, had it going on. I believe they had it live on the Caps website. So that was pretty cool for them to do something like that. The place was packed. I mean, it was ridiculous. I've seen a pack like that for training camp before. I've seen a pack like that during the winter when a lot of the kids aren't in school and they want to come out and watch. But I've never seen a packed when there's maybe three, and that's, you know, putting it nicely, three recognizable players. You know, you had Stan Galiev and Philip Forsberg. And after that, I think the sort of normal generic fan is not going to recognize anybody else. So it was nice to see a lot of people out there. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Capitals fan base is definitely growing. I forget who tweeted it. I'm not sure who tweeted it, but they said there's no denying that D.C. is a hockey town now, because that place was filled with fans. I mean, it was just insane. You couldn't move. You found a seat. You stayed there the whole time. You got to watch the scrimmage. I did more of the touristy fan fest type of things, and we'll talk about that. We do have some pretty cool stuff for you in this episode. We actually got to talk with Dan said, John Walton, the voice of the Capitals, and we'll play that in a little bit. We had a great interview with him. You know, Rod Langway was there hanging out. You know, there were bouncy houses for the kids. There was face painting. FanFest was a lot of fun. It's the thing that I look forward to most in the off season. I used to look forward to the convention, but unfortunately, news broke that they're not doing the convention this year due to the fact that there may be a lockout.
It's like a no hitter, man. Let's just not even, don't even say the word.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that. If there's, I think we pretty much covered everything we can in Caps World right now. So, what we'll do is we'll take a break real quick. We'll let you listen to some cool stuff from over the weekend. And next up is our interview with John Walton, the voice for the Capitals.
Hi, I'm Red Rocker Michelle, and you're listening to What the Puck.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. And we're at Caps Fan Fest right now, and we're talking with the voice of the Capitals, Mr. John Walton. How are you doing, sir?
Fantastic. Good to have hockey here in July, that's for sure.
It's an amazing feeling. Is it weird for you to come in, you know, maybe shorts and sandals before you go into a suit and actually commentate on some hockey?
You know what? It is a little bit different, but it's funny. Once you walk through the doors here at Kettler, I think everything changes, and, you know, the conditions in here. I mean, you got the air conditioning going. We didn't have ice there for a while when the power went out, but yeah, we got that back. And, you know, the guys have worked really hard this week. The pace has been really good. And, you know, this kind of culminates today with a scrimmage. It's the rubber match of the series with Team Red and Team White, too. So it's going to be a lot of fun today. It's been a lot of fun this week.
It's been a lot of fun hearing, reading about everything on Twitter about going on. We had a fight, you know, in one of the scrimmages, so it's going to be a really cool thing for all the Caps fans to see. And it's true, you walk through the doors here, you kind of get goosebumps. You want to go buy, like, a knit cap at the team store. But I want to talk to you real quick about the playoffs that we just had. You had an amazing call against when it was the Capitals-Bruins, Game 7. I mean, everybody is talking about your call. What was it like going through your head when that play was happening? Because at home, all I was saying was yes, 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 over and over again.
I think that was probably what was going on in my head, too. But it was a matter of making sure you capture a moment like that, and there's really no planning for it. You get to overtime, and anything can happen, and you don't really think about, you know, it could just as easily have gone the other way. In fact, just a couple of moments prior to, the Bruins had a pretty good scoring chance. If it goes in, it would have been anything but. But I couldn't have been happier for Joel Ward. I think that was probably one of my first emotions because he'd been in and out of the lineup so much. I was happy for Mike Knuble to be able to be a part of a play like that. I mean, two guys that weren't getting a lot of ice time down on the third and fourth line for the most part. You never know who a hero is going to be in a moment like that. And I was just thrilled it happened for the Caps. And it would have been great if it would have happened in the next round, too. But it was for a first Game 7 for me in the NHL. It was a lot of fun.
And you say it's your first Game 7 in the NHL. Dan actually has a question about what it was like in Hershey. So, Dan, I'm going to pass this to you.
Thank you. I was kind of wondering, what's the difference between calling a Hershey Bears game and calling a Washington Capitals game?
You know, it's more different than you'd think, only because the pace of the game is so much different. The AHL is the second-best league in the world. It's a great development organization for prospects for the National Hockey League, and they do a wonderful job. But I think I knew about maybe halfway through training camp that this game and this pace of the call is so much faster. And I think it's when you see guys come up from the AHL to try and fit in at this level and find their way, it takes a little bit of an adjustment period for them. And I think it's the speed that, you know, just the crispness of play. There's no league better on earth than the National Hockey League. So for me, being able to adjust to that pace and being able to, you know, be ready for what comes your way. And by the way, from the preseason to the regular season, it ramps up. And boy, once you get to the playoffs, it really ramps up. So for me, that was the biggest difference. But I love my time in Hershey. I had so much fun when I was there. But to be able to be a part of this organization, can't ask for anything better. It's a dream come true.
Speaking of some of the younger guys, do you see any of the players here that have been here throughout the week that you think have an opportunity to make this Caps roster in October?
Well, I preface that by saying that right now you're looking at this camp as being basically boys against boys, for lack of a better term. I mean, you've got, you know, 17, 18, 19-year-olds. You've got a few that are older, but for the most part, none of these guys have played professionally, at least at a high level. And most of them, even at the collegiate level, haven't played against pro-caliber competition. So when you see a guy excel at this, you know, it doesn't necessarily translate. But having said that, Philip Forsberg looks as can't-miss as you can imagine. I think when you get an idea for what Central Scouting was looking at when they looked at a guy like that, he's fantastic. I've loved Tom Wilson this week. He's got a big frame on him. He's only going to get bigger. I mean, when you look at it, you're like, man, he's got a lot of the tools that you want to see. And I was even talking with George McPhee a little bit earlier this week. You know, there's a chance he might even bypass the AHL when he's ready. I mean, it all depends on the development curve. I mean, you never know. Some guys adjust quickly and some guys need a little bit more time to develop. But those two guys are at the top of the list. There are some free agents here that aren't even necessarily signed by Washington. Going back for college, going back for another year, collegiately or to junior, that the Caps will probably want to keep tabs on moving forward through this season. Wouldn't be surprised to see him in the fold down the line. But, you know, so many different guys with so many different backgrounds. It's tough to make judgments, but you can see a lot of talent here. It's been a fun week to be able to, see what these guys have to offer and see how they compete against one another.
Brandon, back to you.
Now, we're talking about going to college with these with the developmental guys and everything. My big question for you is, what came first for you? Was it a love for the sport, or was it a love for radio? And how do you kind of incorporate those two things into your daily life?
It's a great question, actually. I think it was probably hockey first, but radio wasn't far behind. And I played growing up. I was in Minnesota playing on the ponds, and never played a whole lot of beyond high school. Didn't really play any organized hockey other than intramurals in college and stuff. But for me, I grew up loving the game. I grew up listening and watching the game on listening to games at night on the radio and watching the games. I watched the North Stars actually as a kid, and it's funny that there have been so many players that played for the North Stars that were big time Capitals too. I had Donnie Beaupre, Dino Cicerelli. Maybe that was some foreshadowing of what was to come for me, but I've loved every minute. By the time I was 18, I knew what I wanted to do, and it took a long time in the minors. You ride a lot of buses in the AHL, and if you don't have love for the game, you probably won't come out the other side. But for me, being in Hershey and part of three Calder Cup titles was a lot of fun. And the love for the game has never gone away. I'll turn 40 in the spring, and I've essentially been doing this now for 22 years, and I've never had more fun doing anything else.
Well, you are absolutely great at the job that you do. I love listening to you on the radio. Sometimes I'll even mute my TV and then listen to the radio as the game's going on. But you tweet and you write a blog for the Capitals. Where are some of the places on the internet that people can see some of your writing at?
CapitalsVoice.com is my blog. That's a direct link to that, although you can go through the Caps website to find that. On Twitter, at Walton Caps, big Twitter guy. I like that interaction with the fans. That's something that's actually very different from even a few years ago. Used to be you were only on when the game was going. Now you're kind of always on. But I like that because, there's a lot of hockey discussion out there, and it's always fun to keep track of that. And, it's all about the fans and being interactive, so... our organization, I think, does a pretty good job of that, and I certainly enjoy it.
Thank you very much for taking time to talk to us. This was an absolute pleasure. John Walton for the Capitals. Make sure you listen to him whenever there's a game on right on the radio. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for coming up, guys. Appreciate it.
Great. Listen to those cheers. This is Lynn and Kay, and we're at the Caps Fan Fest, and you're listening to What the Puck on the @BrandoCash Network.
All right, welcome back to What the Puck. Thank you so much for listening so far. We're halfway through Caps Fan Fest, and I'm with a diehard Caps fan, a buddy of mine, Steve Smith. What's going on, man?
Hey, not too much.
Thanks so much for taking time, and we're in between periods right now. The scrimmage, what's your thoughts so far on today and the Fan Fest?
I think the Fan Fest is an incredible event. I mean, the fact that you're getting so many fans an opportunity to get up close with future Caps, having all the fun stuff for the families, free... It's just a fantastic event.
Is there anybody that you've watched during the scrimmage so far that you've been really impressed with and you want to see that red jersey on soon?
Yeah, Stan Galiev, he was pretty good in the first. I think the goal he got credited with went off his skate, but obviously they're not going to Toronto to review that. But the other big guy, Martinson, actually impressed me. I don't know where he's from, but number 73, he had a really solid first period. I thought overall there are a lot of, good-looking young Caps. I mean, obviously, Philip Forsberg, great hands, great skill. And, when he gets a little bit bigger, boy, he's gonna be nice up on the big club. So, good future ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of great guys. Tom Wilson's another one. Everybody's talking about big body, checking everybody. So, this has been a fun event. I'm glad I ran into you. I could talk to you a little bit about the Caps. And hopefully I'll see you at Verizon Center this winter.
Awesome. Let's go, Caps.
Waiting in line to meet Rod Langway. Going to ask him to do a little promo for What the Puck here at Caps Fan Fest. A lot of pictures, little kids having fun.
Couple more, and that's it.
Can I actually get you to do a little? I do a podcast. Can I get
Not right now.
No, no. Can I get you to just say you're listening to What the Puck?
What the Puck?
Yeah. Can I get you to say that?
No. You'll listen to What the Puck.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, everybody. Welcome to What the Puck. Thanks for listening. This is our special Fan Fest edition of the show, and I'm sitting here in the bleachers with Dan, and this is right after the second period. Dan, what's going on so far?
It's been a pretty intense game so far. It's funny to see everybody playing and see that there's definitely a drop in talent. But to see these guys play, everybody's trying to hit, not so much in open ice, with the exception, I think, of IF Radio right now with his fighting major. But all the guys like hitting along the boards. It's been a lot of fun. They're moving pretty quick. Everybody's trying to go for the Dmitry Orlov hip check, and a lot of guys keep missing, taking themselves out of position. I'm sure Oates isn't too happy about that. But right now, I think a couple of guys stand out, with Philip Forsberg and Stan Goliath are certainly doing playing some good hockey right now.
Absolutely, and it's pretty fun to have hockey in D.C., especially in July, something that's not really normal here. We're not too far away from the start of the regular season in October, so this is a nice way to kind of just, you know, it's a little taste. It's not a whole meal. It's just like an appetizer for a hockey season coming up.
Well, it's like when we were interviewing John Walton earlier, and he had mentioned about the ice being here. I saw the puck started bouncing a little bit towards the end of the second there, and I'm wondering if any of that's attributed to the fact that we had a power outage for a couple of days, and the ice, it turned into the Kettler Capitals pool. So it was pretty bad, but their guys are doing a good job. They're keeping control of it. It's definitely a lot of fun sitting here in July. I keep having to look at my watch and go, oh, right, it's the middle of July, not September. We're not watching a practice or training camp. This is just development camp. And these guys are a lot younger, and you're watching boys against boys, so you can't really tell how good they might be in the future, but it's still pretty intense and pretty fun to watch.
Absolutely. And, of course, we've got all kinds of stuff around. Rod Langway, he's hanging out here. We saw Coach Oates. Wes Johnson, John Walton, of course, we talked about it on the last episode. The Capitals they're broadcasting this. They're streaming this on their webpage, which I think is absolutely awesome. You know, D.C. is definitely a hockey town. If you have any doubt in that, just come to FanFest because the place is packed. I mean, it is standing room only at this point.
Yeah, I've never seen it this crowded. I've come out for training camps before in various practices, especially in December when the kids are out of school and a lot more people will come out. I've never seen it this crowded. I was actually standing along the side, and one of the guys came to me and said, you can't stand here, you have to sit down. And so I had to sort of fight my way in to be able to find a seat. So it was pretty intense. I've never seen this many people, even back when they first got this building, a lot of fans were coming out. So it's crowded. It's certainly a lot of fun. So if anyone ever has the opportunity to come out, even for a development camp where you don't know most of the players, it's still a lot of fun to watch. The players are all trying to make a really good impression on Coach Oates and George McPhee and his Ross Mahoney and their scouting staff are all here watching. Everybody's trying to make an impression, so they're trying to play at their best. It really is a lot of fun as they come out here for the third period.
Here we go. Number 49, Galeev right here. He's a guy that a lot of people are talking about, and apparently he had a really good first period. I didn't get to see it. And we've got the white team coming out now. Philip Forsberg is on the white team. And we've got Tom Wilson, he's on the red team. But back to Galeev here on the red team. I heard he had a pretty good first period. What have you seen from him so far?
I've seen that he's one of these guys that certainly is playing above level. This is his third development camp, so he certainly knew what he was getting himself into. He's sort of, I wouldn't say he's dominating to an extent, but he's definitely holding his own. He's a little smaller than I would have expected. It would certainly be good, I think, for the Capitals if he filled out a little bit with some muscle. I wouldn't be surprised if he spends the year in Hershey, maybe get a couple of call-ups for injury replacement to play on the second line. But he's certainly doing a good job. He had a pretty goal in the first, and he's been out and about. He had one play nice where he was trying to set up somebody while he's on his knees and then fell on his stomach trying to play the puck. He actually ended up causing the guy to miss taking a good slap shot. But you can see the effort is there, and he's a guy definitely keep his eye on for this upcoming season and maybe have a chance to play in D.C.
All right, thanks so much, Dan. This has been What the Puck live at FanFest. We've got 10 seconds until the start of the third period. It's going to be a wild one. The series is tied right now. Let's see who's going to win, red or white.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the Puck!
All right, welcome back to What the Puck. I hope you've enjoyed all this on-site interview stuff, man. This was pretty cool. We had a good time last Saturday. Thank you again to John Walton for talking to us. He was a super cool dude. And so, Dan, you got to sit down. You actually watched the final period. I was in the equipment sale, and we'll get to that in a minute. So tell me, how did this game turn out and some of your thoughts on it?
Well, I ended up sitting down throughout most of the game. I mean, I missed the drop of the puck, but actually, I think I sat through the whole game, and it was pretty cool to watch. I was sitting there, and the two main guys I wanted to see how they do were Stan Galiev and Philip Forsberg. Stan Galiev, I believe this was his third development camp. He looked really good out there. He was flying around. He certainly was more comfortable than his first 2 years. And then Philip Forsberg, their recent draft pick, first-round pick, he certainly looked like he was a man against boys, where he was out there and doing – I remember there was one point where he just had the puck on his stick, and he wasn't skating, and he was still, like, dancing between two guys. It was ridiculous to sort of see him. He's a guy that I'll bet, even though he's not coming over this season, but I'll bet he could make the Capitals roster come October if he was going to stay in North America. Wow. But that's all right. He'll go over. He'll get bigger in Sweden. He'll be all right. We'll see him next season. Sort of the same thing that happened with Backstrom and Johansson when they were drafted. And then that's going to be the biggest confusing thing right now in the offseason. It's talking about Johansson. Now I have to clarify whether I mean Callie or Marcus. So, and then the other guy that sort of stood out, I thought one of the guys was Patrick Way, who was a Caps draft pick from a few years ago. He's a defenseman. He looked like he was certainly getting more comfortable at the game at a higher level. He's a name to look forward to the next few years. And then the biggest guy I thought made an incredible impact was the first goalie for the red team. He played for the first period, and I believe the next 11 or 12 minutes of the second period before they both teams switched goalies, and his name is Sergei Kostenko. He is the 7th round pick in this past draft. He's, I believe, the number 3 goalie on the Russian junior team, and he looked amazing. Hmm. He would go side to side really quickly. He was making great saves, stoning guys who were right in front of him. I mean, he kept Red in that game, even though White took the lead midway through the second period, where they looked like they were going to dominate the rest of the way. He looked really good. I was really surprised for a 7th-round pick to look as good as he did. But like John Walton said, it was boys against boys. If he comes to training camp, it'll be interesting to see sort of how he does against more talent. But he could be a guy. He could be another guy that throws into this Caps sort of goalie pocket that they got, where they got all these young guys coming up. You had Holtby and Neuwirth, and they had Varlamov at one point. Then you have Grabauer and Soberg, and now potentially Kostenko. That could be coming up in a few years, maybe, you know, 3 or 4 years, that may be able to make a chance and do something. And then the one other name I want to throw out there is Max Iafredi, who just is not making any friends anywhere. This guy he's already fought once. He fought again this past Saturday, where he lost after getting drilled with a right hook. Ooh. And I couldn't see what had happened because there were people in front of me blocking me, but he knocked a guy into the boards. The guy knocked him into the boards, and I guess Iafredi took it personally, or he was mad. The guy was yelling at him. So he took the guy's stick, and he just, like, knocked it away. He flipped this thing up in the air, like, pretty high up in the air, too, and then started to skate away. And the player was just like, nope, not having it. Drops his helmet, drops his gloves, and he's like, let's go. They fought, and Iafredi got knocked down. It was pretty bad. But, wow. You know, that could be a thing where maybe McPhee and Oates see that and go, you know what, this guy's got a bit of an attitude. I kind of like this. Or maybe they look at it and they go, you know what, this guy takes dumb penalties and he gets his team in trouble. Because when he took that stupid penalty for the red team, White went and scored and was able to tie it up. Huh. So we'll see what happens. It certainly will be interesting to see what they decide to do with him if they sign him. There's a couple of guys that got signed by the Capitals to go play in Hershey potentially the next few years. So it's good for them. A lot of the young guys, the thing about development camp that you might not see during training camp or practice is that everybody is going hard and doing their best. And you may not see that during the regular season because it's just a practice. So it was great to see these young guys out there playing hard and doing the best they could because they truly, really wanted to make team and make a good impression on George McPhee and Ross Mahoney and the rest of the scouts.
Oh, absolutely. It was great to see some of the scrimmage. I didn't get to see as much as you did. You kind of watched the game. I did more of the touristy fan fest stuff, like I said. And so, I mean, it seems like we've got a lot of talent coming up. Hershey was a concern after a lot of people left this past off season. So it looks like maybe not this season, but in the season two or three down the road, it seems like Hershey's going to have a team kind of built of a lot of strong players, I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, I think they did a good job of bringing a lot of young guys. They lost a couple of the older guys from Hershey, and it's nice having in the AHL, having the older guys to kind of mentor the young guys, as well as potentially protect them. They lost a guy like a Joel Reklich, who is a big fighter, and they brought in Matt Claxton, who's also a big fighter. So they still have guys down there that are going to protect the young guys, like a Stan Galiev, or Galiev. I still have to learn how to say his last name. So you have guys down there that are doing a good job. They've brought back like Kevin Marshall, I believe, and a couple other guys. So I think Hershey's going to be stacked. They're certainly a team to go up and watch, and they'll be a lot of fun to check out during the season if you have a chance to get up there.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, one of the things about FanFest that's a lot of fun is the equipment sale. And a lot of fans, you didn't. I don't think you got to go in and see some of this craziness.
I checked that out, but you told me about it.
Yeah, but the funny thing is that they open up at noon. And usually when something says they open up at noon, it's like 12:05, 12:10. I was interviewing with you, as we heard earlier, on the bench, just waiting for the third period to start. So my mom was standing in line, and she doesn't know what to grab or what I'm looking for or anything like that. And they start letting them in early. So she's texting me and freaking out because I wasn't in there yet. So after I got done with the interview, you, I ran in there, and the place is just a madhouse. There's people with sticks like flying everywhere. There's people trying on skates, goalie pads, the practice jerseys. Actually had practice jerseys. Boom, they were gone within a second. I never got a chance to grab them. There were socks, you know, that go over your equipment and everything, one for each leg. Everybody was checking those out. There were name plates, but everybody, it's like living in a zoo almost, because the people there are just insane. They just grab stuff without like any concern. They just grab whatever they want and then just hold on to it and check everything. No, this is somebody else uses this stick. Somebody else uses this stick. So like I tried not get into any of that. So where did I go? First thing that I look for, laundry bags. They were selling used laundry bags with...
That's gross.
They smelled terrible, but there were just different numbers on it. And some of them were Caps player numbers. You don't know like if it's for whoever, but there was like a Caps, it said Capitals, and then just some random number. So I picked up, and people were just grabbing them and then looking for the number and then just throwing them onto this table without any concern at all if anybody else is looking through it. So I found one bag that just says Capitals and then the name Bob. No idea what that's for. So I was
trying to think of maybe that was somebody's nickname, but I got nothing.
Well, I thought it was funny. I found the one that says Bob, even though every other bag is a number. And then I found a number 4, which I'm thinking may have been John Erskine. So I was okay with that. John's my buddy. I like him. So I walked away with them, and then I found a pair of pants, you know, like Under Armour pants or Reebok pants, and
nice.
Yeah, and they were there, so I'm like, all right, well, I'll get these. So I was like the weirdo who checked out with two laundry bags and a pair of pants, and there were people behind me like checking out with $500 used goalie pads and all this other kind of, and hockey sticks. The one thing I wish I would have been able to grab is that they were selling banners that I think hung outside the Verizon Center, because these things were huge, man. They were $100, but you had to roll them up, and I don't even know how to tell you how big these were, but I'd have to put it on like the side of my house in order for it to get displayed in any way. Like it's like a two-story banner. I don't know
what would someone do with that? Like, unless you have like a really big house, like you're just gonna sit there in your room and be like, "Yep."
I was like, "Yeah, I can use it as like an area rug. It would just take up my entire living room. That's about it."
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, but people got them before we got in there. I mean, the place is just crazy. It's like first come, first serve, and the first people in there just grab everything. It is just crazy. That is my least favorite thing about FanFest is the craziness that happens at the equipment sale, especially because the season ticket holders get first dibs, and it's more orderly than it is when you're just letting in the general public, which I'm a What the Puck host, so I don't think I should be general public, but whatever.
Now, I've heard that there are usually fights every year.
Oh, absolutely. Last year, my mom...
Any good fights this year?
There were people yelling. Last year, my mom got hit in the head with a hockey stick. Like, some guy turned around real quick. He was like, over here. And then as he turned around, took the hockey stick, and bam, hit her right in the head. She probably deserved
it. It's just crazy people.
Yeah, I mean, you get hockey fans and you got used equipment. People go all crazy for it. But, hey, man, I got a laundry bag. I'm happy. Kind of.
You did get a laundry bag.
It's kind of weird, but still got it. So this has been fun, man. This has been a good fan fest. I'm glad that you were able to go. I'm glad that we were able to meet up, and I'm glad that we got to talk to a couple people. So anything else? Anything else going on in the NHL? I mean, I think everything's pretty quiet recently.
Yeah, the next couple of weeks to a month or so are going to be pretty quiet. A lot of teams are just going through what they got. With the Caps, they signed Philip Forsberg to a contract. Was it a week or so ago? That won't count until next when he actually comes over. So he has a typical 3-year rookie deal. Sabres did the same thing with their draft pick, Mikhail Grigorenko. They signed him to an entry-level deal, and I think someone else got signed. So a lot of these things are happening, but it's going to be pretty quiet for a little while until someone like Alexander Semin signs, and maybe Mike Knubel might sign with somebody. You know, Keith Acoin is still out there, although I don't really want much news. We still have the Rick Nash trade that's supposed to go down at some point. We have Bobby Ryan trade that's supposed to go down at some point. So there's still certainly things that could happen, but there's no timetable. Like, we don't know. It could be happening right now. It could happen in a month. It could happen halfway through the first part of the season. You know, we don't know when these things are going to happen, but there's still things that could, you know, that could happen.
Exactly, yeah. And you know what? Our shows become a little bit more sporadic as news slows down. But next week, we'll definitely be back for What the Puck. And it's pretty cool. We're going to talk to Wes Johnson. We got to talk to him at FanFest this past Saturday, and we'll be airing that interview with him next week. So make sure you check that out. And with some changes going on at What the Puck here, this episode is still going to be on SoundCloud, but this is going to be our last episode on SoundCloud. We're making that big jump over to iTunes, and this week we're going to get approved by iTunes, and they're going to, you know, set everything up. So what you need to do is go onto iTunes, go into the iTunes store, search What the Puck Podcast, What the Puck, just What the Puck, just look that up, and you'll find our page eventually this week, and all you have to do is click subscribe. And every single week when we post a new episode, it will automatically download straight into your iTunes. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to go, oh, did they put out a new show? Did they do this or that? Don't have to worry about that at all. Automatically downloads right into your iTunes. And then you just click, drag it over to your phone. Or you can even do it on your phone if you have a smartphone on iPhone, because they have the new podcast app, which is really, really convenient. So make sure you stay up with all this technology. I'm gonna give Dan a tour of iTunes, because he seems a little confused about it, too.
Yeah, dude, you got to teach me how to use this thing.
So that's going to be coming up. So if you are listening to this episode on SoundCloud, thank you for listening, and thank you for going through the episode with us. Well, this was a great episode, and we had a lot of fun at FanFest. And make sure you make the jump with us over to iTunes, and hopefully we'll be able to hit a broader audience there. And subscribe for free. It's the same thing you're doing now. You know, if you find out about a show on Facebook or Twitter, now you don't have to go and download it yourself. You just click subscribe, boom, automatically into your iTunes. So if people want to hang out with us and make sure they have any questions about our big jump over to iTunes, Dan, where can they reach you for all the good answers?
You can catch me on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckcaps, and you can catch me on Twitter at whatthepuckcaps. Brandon, where can they catch you in all your great shows?
Oh, of course, right. Well, you can always follow me on Twitter at BrandoCash, and we've got so much going on. We've got the BrandoCash Network, and we've got training camp for the Baltimore Ravens starts next week. So if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, listen to The Call. That'll be starting up next week. We've got Work Shoot. It's a wrestling podcast. We're going to talk Monday Night Raw, TNA Impact Wrestling, anything you can think of. We've got the At BrandoCash Show, which I've been slacking on because I haven't interviewed anybody lately. But all kinds of new shows. There's more shows coming down the pipe. So go to Twitter at BrandoCash, Facebook.com/BrandoCash, and you'll find out about all those cool shows. We usually do about 4 weeks. So, I mean, there's always something going on at the At BrandoCash Network. But, Dan, real quick, on Twitter, have you started any fights with anyone else this week?
No, I haven't fought with them. No, me and the dude were cool now. We had it was getting a little heated there for a little while, but we're good. No fighting. Don't anybody go crazy.
All right. Well, if you want to argue with Dan, of course you can go follow him on Twitter. But he won't let go, man. He will fight to the bitter end.
Only if I am right, or if I'm tired and I just feel like arguing.
All right, man. Thanks so much, and we'll be back next week. And don't forget our special guest Wes Johnson. His interview is going to be next week airing. So make sure to follow us. And hey, Dan, thanks for talking to me this week.
No problem. I'll talk to you next week, man.
Been a production of the At BrandoCash Network.